Calvin Scholar mit The Coaster auf Flux FM. Eine gelungene Vereinigung zweier Welten haben wir da gerade gehört. Und der Mann, der für die Musik verantwortlich ist, er ist jetzt bei mir im Studio. Wir quatschen über seine Musik, wir quatschen aber auch über eine Veranstaltungsreihe, die er kuratiert hat für die Werkstatt der Kulturen. Und zwar wird dort im Rahmen des Black History Month die Konzertreihe Black Music Renaissance über die Bühne gehen. Und die hat mein Gast kuratiert, der Musiker und Artivist, sage ich einfach mal. Calvin Scholar ist jetzt bei mir im Studio. Hello, Calvin.
Hello, alle. It's good to be here.
Yeah, same to you. It's good to have you here. Yeah, so how are you doing today? Is everything well prepared for the shows that you've planned, you curated?
Yeah, the artists have been working for a while, and we made special programs for each night, especially for this. So I'm really happy.
Yeah, yeah. It really looks great. And I think it must be a pretty interesting series of concerts for you as well, because you do love to combine different worlds in your music. We've just listened to one of your tracks, and it combines super modern music with jazzy piano solo vibes, you know, that could have been played in the 20s maybe already.
Yeah.
And that's what I really love. And that's why I think it must be interesting for you to curate such a festival, because you have an open ear for all those different genres, and it must be interesting for you to meet all the people behind the music.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Each week we are focusing on a different artist that is known for mixing. So the first week I have a good friend of mine, Jamel Brown. He's coming, and his latest project is mixing African-American work songs from slave songs and early spirituals, and then playing modern jazz on top.
Wow.
And, you know, he just had a great review in The Guardian. He was just on the cover of the New York Times with my brother, Chris Scholar, as a producer.
Uh-huh.
And my brother Chris has produced for everybody from Q-Tip to, he won a Grammy with Kanye West and Jay-Z and Frank Ocean for a song he wrote called No Church in the Wild.
So, wow. That was your brother.
Yeah, that's my brother.
Cool.
So, you know, me, him, and Jamel Brown, we are in close contact, always recording and playing together. So I'm glad to have him first. And then, the second and third week, you know, I got two great friends, this group of guys I know from Cuba called Machete Horns, who really are the best Cuban horn players that I know personally, uh-huh, solo-wise. But then we play electronic music and then Afro-inspired music. I mean, it's really a mix of the African percussion as it left America and Africa, yeah, and went out into the world. Really splendid. And then I go in another direction with the Balkan ensemble.
Yeah, that's something completely different.
Yeah, I love Balkan music. I went a few times to... I started off in Greece, went up through Macedonia. I've been up through parts of Armenia and Turkey, and then ended up in Bulgaria. And I really love the meters and the spices of this Balkan music. So I put together an ensemble with Dimitris Christidis.
With the changing tempo and stuff, right?
Yeah, changing tempos and meters, and also the dances that go with it. Really, yeah, really like it. One thing I miss about jazz is just people, the dancing.
Yeah, that's, you know, true. And that used to happen when jazz was big in the 20s, right?
It was only a dance music, but you know, now people sit. But when you play, you know, when I play with people from, we did Argentinian tango thing, but we mixed it with music from Romania,
uh-huh,
and the Romanians came and they danced their traditional dances on the tango and all that, and it was just amazing. I love when the folk music is for the people to dance their traditional,
yeah,
dances.
Yeah, and that's when music becomes that universal language that,
exactly,
one's talking about, right?
Yep.
That brings people together that did not have anything to do with each other before the,
exactly,
music started, maybe, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they have this common ground, and they dance to the same beat, and that's really the cool thing about bringing different people together. Do you kind of force them out of their comfort zone as well, or by curating the whole thing like you did, it's already mixed enough?
Yeah, the point is to actually get everybody to converse on the common things, and between any two people there's a common thing, so we try to get them to really focus on that. And then, because, okay, for example, in the Balkan group there is we have Greek, we have Armenian, myself. And neither one of us really speak the same kind of language music-wise,
yeah,
but we connect on that love for it. So,
yeah,
it has a natural, strange shape to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody's so connected already. Everybody's so one-minded that I really enjoy these people as, yeah, people and then as artists.
Yeah, so you don't just work with Jamie O'Brown. You're going to work with all these live.
Yeah, I'll be in all the bands,
yeah,
actually. I'll be kind of curating the show, not just from the sense of... introducing the bands, but I'm also directing how the music will go on stage, because a lot of it is improvisatory based. So
we
kind of just go with the energy, you know.
So you'll be the band leader for all those three projects,
really,
kind of?
No, more like a curator is a good word.
Yeah, okay.
Because with the band leader, I mean, Jamel and I are just going to be duo. yeah. for example. And then with the Machete Horns, they're going to be out front, but we're going to be experimenting in the back. And then I wrote a suite, and we're going to play that with the Calavan Quartet, a suite called the Calavan Suite, dedicated to Balkan music. And the last one, we're going to recreate a South African shebeen from the 50s and 60s. So we've got some surprise South African artists in town, you know. Also, I've been talking to people like our good friends, Story Dinalane and Max Hedder.
Okay, cool. You know,
also follow my work this summer with Megalo and Tony Allen.
All right.
Allen,
you
know,
you work
so,
with Megalo. Cool.
Yeah, with Tony Allen. We just did a project taking Fela Kuti's drummer.
Oh,
and,
what?
He raps live when we do a live band.
Oh, wow.
And we played here at Zigzag Club live. Me, Megalo, Tony Allen.
What?
With Christian Prommer, another really good friend.
Oh,
so
man.
We're all involved in this cross-cultural experiments to find a common language.
Yeah. Speaking of cross-cultural things and a common language, the whole thing is part of the Black History Month.
Exactly.
And there's people all over the United States. Some of them are racists who don't like the Black History Month. Some of them are Afro-American activists, though. I think Morgan Freeman just said that he doesn't want an Black History Month because it's American history and he doesn't want the whole thing to be reduced to a month. Well, one's looking at the Trump administration right now, one does have the feeling that Black History Month is definitely necessary still. What's your take on that?
Well, it's good you asked that because one way to look at it is that you should never forget what happens to you, and you should always keep aware of the history, so the young kids need to know it, but that should be, again, year-round and not limited to the shortest, coldest month of the year. But at the same time, when I present this festival, I always try to say that we all have ancestors to be proud of, but it doesn't matter what your ancestors did. It's up to you right now. And that's why this year I tried not to just have all Black bands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the South African story about how they go through apartheid, that's an important story. Sometimes we make it like it's a Black American versus a white American, or the old German Jews versus the old Germans. It's actually this kind of energy is always present everywhere where people oppress people. So we can't really pick on one particular group or another. And my idea this time was to show, we've had that in South Africa. I'm working with the Balkan people, and a lot of them are gypsies who are still oppressed. We have the Cubans who which had an embargo against American jazz. These guys who I play with, they got thrown out of school for playing American sounding music.
Yeah.
And me and Jamel, he's half French, half Black. And a lot of times when we would play together, somebody would come up and say, "Oh man, you playing with this white dude?" And I say, "Hey man, this." He looks like that, but he's mixed. But, you know, even if he was just playing with some white dude, this kind of attitude, this kind of saying, this kind of vibe is what really doesn't belong in the music.
Yeah.
So even though it's Black History Month, for me, it's the celebration of all the great things that Blacks have done, but how our music is directly connected to the great music of Europe, the great music of Cuba. So then we're celebrating everybody's music, everybody's culture.
And I really think that it's important to keep in mind what happened to Black people in the United States in the past, just to because only remembering can avoid that it's going to happen again. That's the same thing with Nazis in Germany.
Yeah.
Some people are trying to forget about that. Some are trying to tell us that we don't have to remember anymore. But I think it's really a super important thing to remember your past, especially when it was an ugly one. So you can avoid repeating the whole stuff.
You can avoid repeating it, and then you can kind of relax because, I mean, at the same time, I wasn't present back then, and nobody has done anything overtly racist to me in those ways that my ancestors had to go through, and they had to go through that. So today it can be like this. So there's no reason to remember and be mad and hurt people either.
Yeah.
Sometimes I go to events where it's like, you know, the Africans or the Blacks, and they say, "Yeah, you know, we complain. And then the ones who are in the audience who support us are the ones who's catching all the heat, but they're the ones who support it.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
it's
you
like
know,
preaching to the converted.
Yeah. It doesn't have to have anger in there. Remembrance can also have another sense of pride of a, despite all that, still I rise. Despite all those things, we are still a great people. Of course, we've come from slaves. Of course, we've been kings and queens. The whole spectrum, like everyone.
Yeah, you know? That's true. But I really think that artivism, that's a word I learned from the Dead Press, you know, the hip-hop crew. They were here 2 years ago, and they told me that artivism is their thing now, to combine being an artist with being an activist.
Yeah.
And that's something that one could describe your life with as well.
Very much. I've been lately doing a lot of political work, mainly about just breaking down political barriers and social barriers and in the music. But, you know, I don't like to talk too much about it because I'm not really a politician. I do like to show how music actually lets people from different cultures get along without actually speaking any same language.
Yeah.
It's a way that we can directly access each other. And for me, that's a model of where society can be at its best. A bunch of different people playing their grooves in their cultures, but they all still fit.
Yeah.
There's no dictator on top saying it's got to be the American way or the African way or the Chinese way.
Yeah.
But when they all play and they respect each other, you hear beautiful music of the best of each culture.
True.
And that's what's really, you know, the aim.
And that's actions speak louder than words, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because one can really learn stuff from music. Music is still a magical thing, right?
Yeah, that's right.
No one can explain us why the minor chord is sad and the major chord is not sad.
Yeah, right.
You know that it's like that, but you don't know why.
Yeah.
And I really think that there's a power in music that can help us all,
sure,
no matter which
that's
color
the only thing
or
we all turn
we come
to.
From.
When you get sad or you have these memories, you turn to music to help you express those, no matter where you come from.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of universal language that we all can access without training, without anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now let's listen to some universal language combined with the language of Q-Tip. Wir hören nämlich das Stückchen Even If It Is So. Und das hören wir nicht ohne Grund. Nein, das Klavier, das wir jetzt gleich hier abspielen werden, das hat mein Gast Calvin Scholar eingespielt damals für Q-Tip. Sein Bruder hat produziert. Your brother produced the whole thing, right?
We actually all worked together. Myself, Q-Tip, also Kurt Rosenwinkel, my brother Chris Scholar. We did videos with Spike Lee. It was really interesting time. We got involved with Yoko Ono's Give Peace a Chance movement. So a lot of things were going on at this time. So we just were in the studio all the time, capturing music. And so when the record came out, the label didn't know what to do with it because they said, well, we have nothing to compare this to. It's like, this is a rapper, and then there's all this jazz, and he's singing. Like, what are we...
Stupid label people, man.
Well, you know, here
because,
we are.
Because, I mean, the combination of jazz and hip-hop has existed since the first hip-hop records were cutted, right? But no, I don't want to get into their heads. Let's just listen to the stuff because it's great. Q-Tip mit Even If It Is So, Calvin Scholar am piano. Q-Tip, Even If It Is So. Calvin Scholar, der immer noch bei mir im Studio steht, der hat mit seinem Bruder zusammen diesen Track produziert und auch das Piano natürlich eingespielt. It must have been a great time.
Super
I imagine you guys sitting in the studio and you'd be like, Q, I got this chord progression, listen to this.
Exactly how it was.
Yeah,
you know,
nice.
All hanging out. And then, you know, Kenny Garrett would come in there or Spike Lee would come in there or... Yeah, those were some magic days. You know, a lot of times Prince came by. There's a video with Prince dropping in on the band when they were on tour and just grabbing my brother's guitar, playing the guitar. And yeah, it's a real camaraderie among these artists. Or
you wouldn't change your strings after that happened, right?
No, right.
Or, just leave them on. Prince played the guitar.
Exactly. Just give me another guitar. You know,
put that in the vault.
Yeah. Music of joy, and it tells you also how much these people have influenced. Like, you know, we were saying before how Q-Tip's voice is so iconic that people see him and be around him, they all get this feeling like, yeah, reminds me of back in the day, you know? So yeah, good times.
Q-Tip is such a genius. I've just told you that I love the fact that you're combining different worlds in your music. How does that influence you as a curator? Is it important for you to have different artists on stage as well? Basically, you've already told me it's
no important. Well, I want to be the one that learns the most, though, because...
that's cool.
You know, I have the vision of where things can go, but if I could do it by myself, then it would be solo piano concerts. But what I really enjoy is those guys who are deep in their other world, who are really masters at that, and that I can learn. I can figure out that we're close to each other, but on the other side of that line between us is somebody who's different, has a lot of different stuff, so I learned, like, wow,
yeah,
a lot I can understand, and a lot is like, I don't know, how do you think of that? For example, on the night that we do Balkan music, I toured for years with this drummer, Dimitris Christidis, who's now running Zigzag Club, and I'm there quite often, one of my favorite clubs.
Uh-huh.
And this guy, for years we would be on a road together, and they would play 13 11 7 9. And, you know, week after week, I do my solo and stuff. And then, you know, we were in the car one time and I was explaining to them, you know, it's like, I still feel like I'm playing jazz on top of your thing. And they said, yeah, because the way you're thinking of the rhythm, you're thinking of it from a jazz perspective, but we think of it like this. And when they explained it, I started to understand. And then I started to play different.
Oh, wow.
And that's what I mean by, you know, learning to, it's still me, but I learned to interpret my own way to be objective and say, oh, well, if you change this, you know, outside of myself. And I learned a lot, man. There are many ways you can play the rhythm, and you have to kind of give up your part of your intuition in order to learn another way. And let that become your new intuition.
So that's it. The whole thing is a way for you to learn new things as well.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And then they say, oh, man, this guy's coming up with new stuff, but it's the other way around. Actually, I put the conditions to happen for the stuff to happen, and I'm in the middle just directing it when it gets out of hand, or when somebody needs to be there to say, do we go left or right? Then I say, okay, let's go left.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to tell everyone all the time where to go.
Yeah. But improvisation works best when there's a foundation that's been laid out, right? Before.
People think that it's best the opposite, and that's not true.
Yeah.
Well, let me say it another way. It is absolutely the best when there are no rules, because that's when you can have the most surprise.
Yeah.
But there has to be a balance between that and having total rules. Because somebody just freaking out on an instrument after a while.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's hard to follow, right?
It's hard to follow.
Yeah.
You got to have something you can grab on. And that redundancy does help me have, like, oh, that's the melody, or oh, that's the this, you know.
Yeah, it's a thing that one can really listen to in your music as well. And so that's the thing that's happening there. And I really find it interesting that you're saying that even as a popular jazz pianist who's been around the world, who's worked with Jeff Mills, Carl Craig, Q-Tip, and you name them, all the great artists, even a guy like you can learn something from a musician from Bulgaria who's probably not even able to read sheets or something, you know? He just has this special groove in his ass, and he's going to tell you about it, and you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
That's the way to look at the groove. Okay, thank you, man. Thank you for learning.
Or, you know, when I was in the studio with Tony Allen, man, we'd start playing a groove, and he would stop it, and he'd come over and say, don't play that. Just, everybody's cool, but what you play, that's don't play that. You know, and that was a moment where I really saw what I was made of, because if it was about my ego, then you would just get hurt. But it was because the music wanted something different, and I felt like, that's, what should I do? And he said, no, just listen to the groove, and then it'll come to you. And it did, and that was a good moment for me, because not every time you make the best idea. And I like when the guys can tell you and you can take it. It's like, ah, that kind of sucks what you played.
Yeah.
That's part of it too. I want to hear that too. It's not like, oh, it's all great. It's like, that doesn't fit. You're not grooving with us. You got to listen more to African music. It's like, oh, okay, you're right.
I mean, that's how you grow
as
a musician.
How you grow.
That's how you grow.
Yep.
Now, Friday, the first part of the concert series starts, and that's going to be you and Jamie O'Brown, right?
Yeah.
And what's going to happen there?
He's got his drum kit, and he's going to play sampler. I'm going to play piano and electronics, and we're going to play off of samples, original historical samples made by a very, very famous American sampler from those days.
When field recordings or stuff.
Field recordings from the early 1800s, so stuff from the Alan Lomax and a lot of different great historical stuff that we had to clear. And also, some of those people are still living who sang, like they made quilts and they sing these old songs from back in the day. So they went down there and made a documentary with them and recorded with them live.
What?
And then the band plays modern jazz on top of that, also with electronics. And so it's really cutting edge music from the future, but from the past at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks, Alan Lomax, for running around America with a fucking recorder back then, right?
That's how you, man, see, without that, how would we know?
Yeah.
And there are enough books written about musicians, but it's great to hear it for yourself.
Sure. You and that's the advantage of radio. And whenever I listen to print, look at the print magazine, and they'll be like, all record XY is bullshit. I'm like, it doesn't help me.
No.
You have to show it. You have to listen to it, and I can decide myself.
Exactly. Let me make a choice.
Yeah.
A lot of great artists, when I hear them, I don't hear greatness. And a lot of people who they say, he's a marginal, and I listen, I say, man, this guy's, you know, it depends on the listener.
Yeah, totally true. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be beautiful and well-educated listeners on Friday on the first show. Am Freitag geht's los um 21 Uhr in der Wismannstraße 32 in Neukölln. Und für das Konzert von Jamie O'Brown und Calvin Chollar gibt's noch Tickets. Ansonsten könnt ihr bei der Werkstatt der Kulturen auch nochmal das gesamte Programm nachlesen. Es lohnt sich da wirklich vorbeizukommen. Es sind viele, viele tolle Sachen dabei. Und Calvin hat das Programm mit Liebe und Verstand kuratiert, und er wird auch mitspielen am Piano bei den verschiedenen Programmpunkten. Wie gesagt, am Freitag geht's los. Mit 15 Euro seid ihr dabei um 21 Uhr in der Wismannstraße 32 in Neukölln. Das Ganze findet statt im Rahmen des Black History Month, der morgen beginnt, morgen am 1. Februar. Thank you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Calvin, for visiting.
It's been awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I think so too. It's been okay, right?
Yeah, we had a good time. Good music selections too.
Thank you. And here's another song of yours. It's called Maiden Voyage. Calvin Chollar, thanks a lot for visiting. I'll see you again.
Yeah,
I have a good feeling.
I'll see you there.
Bye-bye.
Bye.